Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
You can't see this on the YouTube, or obviously you can't see this listening on the radio, which is notably not a visual medium. In addition to remembering both of those sponsor hits, mm-hmm. he also sunk the shot into the trash, the wastebasket on the other side of it too.
Simultaneously.
Just, goodness, what a pro Sean Pendergast is, and then he hit the D-Generation X. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It is a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Happy tax day to you. Make sure that you get that done, or else you don't want the IRS on your back, and we don't want the IRS on your back.
Wait till you get a load of my confession as it pertains to taxes.
Oh, that doesn't sound good. Don't get out here, Wesley Snipes. All right, and then also, happy Jackie Robinson Day to all
it
who
is.
Celebrate. I'm excited about that. I'm wearing my Negro League shirt in celebration of such. And then also, it reminds me of the fact that I'm going to really have to look at faces tonight when I watch baseball, because it gets me every time where I'm just like, all right, so who is that? Number 42. Damn it. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's no names on the back either.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate ground out to number 42.
Yeah, I appreciate that we're doing this in celebration of one of the greats of the game. Obviously, celebrates a situation in which our society decided to stop being so damn stupid and accept the best of the best into their sport. However, man, it could be a little bit more convenient for me. I tell you that for damn sure. But yes, excited for that. Also, but at the same time, are you excited to watch Astros baseball tonight, considering how yesterday went?
Well, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Sean said two words, two names that brought it back around to me. Hunter Brown. That's right.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown has been shoving when he gets up there.
Well, so was Fromber.
Well, Fromber has had, shout out to our guy Houston Stresses, who is now keeping what I'm going to watch very closely, which is a Fromber count, which is how many times do you get good Fromber versus how many times do you get bad Fromber. And we're split at 50%. It's two outings apiece for good and bad Frombers.
I call them rum and coke players. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. Because coke is sugar heavy. It's kind of it lifts you up. And rum is a downer.
I never think to get rum and coke. Yeah. I always get a Jack and Coke.
I don't drink rum and coke, but they're rum and coke players is what I call them. You don't know if you're up or you're down. That's Fromber. That's Fromber year in, year out. I got a question for you.
I don't think I'm going to use that, but that's interesting. Rum and coke player. Sorry, you got a question.
Rum and coke
player. Yes.
And
by the way, get involved on the program, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
Texas Hammer!
Thank you, Jim. 713-572-4610. Or also check in on the live streams brought to you by MoCarum Injury Lawyers.
We keep it 100.
That's on YouTube and on Twitch. Sorry, you were saying?
Did you miss Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker last night?
Oh, boy.
Biggie, did you miss Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker last night?
I did.
I did, too.
I kind of missed them for a little bit.
Well,
I ain't going to lie.
Just that's another level.
Yeah, just kind of taking my eyes off of my own paper. I'm like, damn, they actually balling.
And the reason I say that, I was texting with you guys last night because this was a very frustrating game to watch. And really very little to do with Fromber.
Did you text last night?
I did. I did.
My bad on not responding.
You don't read
my
texts anymore. I see what's happening.
My bad, dog.
Blocked. Anyway, so I was saying, it had something to do with Fromber because he wasn't pitching well, but not the big majority of it, because I call them hidden errors, plays that are significantly bad for the team you're cheering for, but they're not necessarily scored errors. There were so many of them, and there were particular ones at third base and right field. Nothing against those guys.
Are you talking about the hot shot down the third base line?
That's an out in a lot of places. That's an out. You know it is.
Nah, that one feels a little aggressive here, dog.
It was like 95 mile an hour off the bat. That's Bregman makes that play. I'll put it that way. Bregman makes that play. That's the play to Paredes down the third base line. And then I
need to go and look at the Baseball Savant page, because maybe I was not watching intently enough in that moment. It didn't strike me as, hey, this is a 95. Like, that looked like a very hot shot towards the hot corner.
It hit the web of his glove and bounced out. I'll put it this way. Bregman makes that play. Gold Glove Bregman makes that play. What is one of the criticisms of Paredes at third base? Defense. And that led indirectly to a run. Now, you might say, well, that's you're asking a lot there.
That one feels like one of those borderline ones that we can let go. And I don't disagree with you that, okay, that's probably one that Bregman makes. I think that we're dealing with an Astros team overall. Can I expand this out a little bit?
Well, we're dealing
with an Astros team overall where the things that you would typically be okay with feel a lot worse because there's all these other things. Like,
right.
There's so many, and I think you're going to talk more about the ones that are a little bit more undeniable.
Yeah.
Some of the other defensive, I guess, lapses, for lack of a better term. That's one of the ones where I'd be like, okay, that happens. Mm-hmm. And then, but that feels worse because there's other ones that you go, that doesn't happen.
Right.
That then also join in with it to add to a really bad
but
problem.
But that's one of five. That's one of five hidden errors. Well, one of them ultimately was scored a hit and then
who
became
hit
an error.
That double again?
I forgot who it was.
Was that Nolan?
I don't know. And then there was a play similar at second base that bounced off of Dubon's glove.
Yeah.
Does Brendan Rodgers make that play? Or does Altuve make that play? Who knows? That's two. The third one, there was and that led to a run. So there's two runs right there that weren't errors. The third one, there was a double clutch from Yonier Diaz on a stolen base where he flat out, if he didn't double clutch, would have gotten the guy out at second. That led to a run. That's three runs right there. And then there was a similar one, on the Nolan Arenado double to left field, where Jeremy Pena got an error for throwing the ball over Yonier Diaz. Framber Valdez was standing on the mound watching the play instead of backing up Diaz.
Yeah.
That ball was on the fly over Yonier Diaz's head. If he backed him up, he would have caught it on the fly.
Right.
And the runner wouldn't have advanced. That's a run. That's four runs right there. You know, that you potentially, now the next guy might have hit a home run, but I'm just saying that's four runs right there that you could have protected. And then the one that was an error, but originally scored a triple, ended up being a double and an error, was the ball to right field that bounced off the wall and Cam Smith dropped the ball, had to pick it up. The runner advanced to third base. That's five. That's five defensive plays.
Yeah.
That I was just looking at it like the 2022, 2024 Astros maybe would have made all five of those plays. And that's why it was so frustrating. They're not errors. And you can argue, and you did, that maybe this one was just going to be a hit no matter what.
And I'll continue because there's multiple people that were clearly watching the broadcast.
Yeah.
And not the same number, mind you. So I do believe this, you know, they said that it was 107 off the bat.
It was 107?
Which, you know, gets to a different space. Like, that's a very hard hit ball. But, I mean, I think while I disagree with you on that singular point, I don't want it to be missed. I agree with you on the larger point there. The edges around the defense, the places where the defense, you know, I mean, you need to be stout, especially considering that your defense is probably needing to play a level of complementary baseball, considering that the bats aren't there.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not there. And it's the type of stuff that makes me wonder, is this going to persist through the season? And it's weird because it's in direct contrast with some of the defensive metrics that you look at that would point to the idea that the defense has actually been pretty damn good to this point. And all of that is frustrating because you need to have a good defense with the just even the expected kind of drop that you were going to have in offense. Understanding that, on paper, Christian Walker's going to come in and replace some of your production. Isak Paredes with that pull hitting, ability to get to the Crawford boxes is going to replace some hitting. as he comes along, Cam Smith is going to bring something. Like, yeah, you did not anticipate a large drop off offensively, but mm-hmm. I think it was fair to expect this is not going to be the exact same offensive team.
Right.
You are going to need your defense to be stout, and it doesn't look that right now. And the question I'm going to levy back to you is mm-hmm. how permanent do you, or like how long lasting do you see these kind of, you know, rough edges to the defense being for the Astros?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's the second part of this. And then I'm going to get to the third part that Figgy alluded
to. It's a trilogy.
It's a trilogy here on the Astros defense. The second part is this. Even if you say, okay, Johnny, you know, the third base, I think that would have been a hit even with Bregman. I don't. I think Bregman would have gotten that. All right? But even if you say that, instead of five, that's four plays.
Still a lot.
That still led to four runs ultimately, okay? And here's the second part. On the double clutch, that made for 19 out of 20 stolen base attempts that have been successful against the Astros. Not all against Yonner Diaz, but successful, most of them against Yonner Diaz. So to your point of how long lasting is it, do you think teams are going to stop challenging him? You think teams are going to stop testing him?
It might get worse.
So they're going to. So that's one part of the second part.
And of course, I do want to again acknowledge not to put it all on Yonder Diaz, although he absolutely has his load to carry within this.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the pitching that needs to come to the plate quicker, or like we need to find some level of mm-hmm. Balance there, because it can't be that this is just happening with the entirety of the rotation.
Yeah, and then the other part of that, in terms of how long do you think this can be? Can this last? Do you think teams are not going to test Cam Smith in right field? Altuve didn't play left, but do you think they're not going to? Do you think they're going to stop testing Altuve on plays at home plate, even though that wasn't his throw? It was Jeremy Pena's on the relay. But yes, it's going to continue, and it's going to keep going because of those two reasons. The catcher is going to be tested. Outfielders, especially corner outfielders, are going to be tested. Now, for the trilogy part of that, which Figgy alluded to. How many times this year are we going to end up missing Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker?
I mean, this is tough because there's a reason why those guys are really great players, and there's a reason why you wanted to keep them, and there's a reason why they left. And for both of them, it is monetary reasons. It's not mm-hmm. because they could not play. Clearly, like, they are still out there performing at a pretty damn high level. You just could not, or were unwilling to pay what it was going to cost mm-hmm. for them to remain. Like, now you can do whatever judgment that you want on that willingness or lack thereof. I don't think we need to get into that in this very moment, mm-hmm. but the fact of the matter is that you were unwilling as an organization to foot that cost. It's going to come up.
Yeah.
I think the question is probably more accurately, like, to what degree will mm-hmm. you miss them? Will it just be like, damn, you know, they were really, really good?
Yeah.
Or will it be, damn, this is an entirely different look without them?
Right.
And I really hope it's not the latter, because early on, it's been kind of the latter,
mm-hmm.
with the understanding that, hey, man, you know, slow starts happen, right? Some of these guys are hitting the ball pretty hard and just not finding grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, various other situations, guys are in a new position and they will get up to speed. Adjustments will be made. Like, all of those things are fair, but even within those, it's been a lot of, damn, this looks like an entirely different team without those guys. And I really and truly hope, and this is all I got for you, is hope. Like, I can't really lean on anything, any level of, like, analytics or mm-hmm. any level of, like, insight to say that it is definitely going to be the mm-hmm. former, where it's more just, okay, it looks a little different, but the job is still getting done. But I really hope it's that more than the latter.
And Figgy, like you said, it's unfair, but I'm always going to kind of have one eye on Bregman and Tucker, especially after nights like last night where, it was two errors. But one of them could have been avoided, perhaps, if Fromber backed up the catcher, and the other one was a right fielder that they're going to test all along.
Yeah, it's really tough too, especially mm-hmm. if your offense not really doing as much,
mm-hmm.
and then you look over at what they're doing over at their respective teams. Yeah. And you're just like, dang, wish we could have had that here,
mm-hmm.
because it's one, like, I was, you know, I was fine with letting go Bregman and doing the trade with Tucker, but we got to get our guys to produce.
Yeah.
If I knew they wouldn't be producing like this on offense or even defense, I probably would have been like, let's not trade them yet.
And you mentioned analytics, Reggie. You do. We are aware. But even the analytics are confused about this Astros defense. You referenced it. Like, outs above average, I looked it up. I think they're second right now in all of baseball.
If they're not second or first, like they're up there for sure.
But in defensive, is it run saved, DRS?
Yes, sir.
They're like 15th. So even analytics doesn't quite know what to make of this defense, you know?
No, for sure. And mm-hmm. I think that some of that, to be fair, is that in all these major sports, mm-hmm. like defense is the toughest to quantify mm-hmm. analytically. I think football probably has a decent grasp on it because we can kind of look at, you know, I guess mm-hmm. opponents' metrics and get a little bit of a good look at it. But especially if we're trying to look for an all-encompassing defensive metric, you don't really have very good ones out there. And then especially if you're trying to get also individual metrics, mm-hmm. it gets really, really tough in that way. But, yeah, analytics have had a tough time. We've had a tough time quantifying defense in a lot of spaces for a long time. So even if you do find defensive metrics, you know, they're either not great or incomplete. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be natural within those to kind of have that. But it's frustrating also then that you have the few things that you can maybe try and hang your hat on to say, hey, there's a level of improvement. You can also on the other side come back with another metric and go, yeah,
maybe not.
But,
right?
And a fair point comes in on the text line from the 832. But John, every play you mention, all the players you mentioned, only two of that you pointed out connects with Tucker and Bregman. And I think that's really the thing that's weird for me mm-hmm. is that there's a lot of places. Like it's a lot of little holes that show up. And yeah. I do believe that, you know, as an organization, over the length of a mm-hmm. full MLB season, you will try and address those things. But there's a lot of things to address right now, or a lot of little things, right? Because yeah. I don't want to make it seem like the entire boat is sinking per se, but there's right. a lot of little things. And some of it seems to like get to the mental aspects of mm-hmm. this, like where I don't know if it's frustration or being locked in pops up. And that's the thing that I'm kind of concerned about, because because I'm going to ask this as a question because I'm not certain. Can you draw some of those things back to like the leadership type qualities that we talk about with Bregman and the ways that you could kind of rally the clubhouse?
Maybe, but I will answer the texture, and it is a good point, but I'll answer it this way. Because of the transition from Bregman and Tucker, all these things are happening. Like Altuve, largely in left field, maybe that was going to happen, probably was going to happen no matter what, but they're going to test him. Cam Smith in right field, they're going to test him. Obviously, we mentioned Paredes at third base, and you know Dubon at second base last night. Those are going to be tested. Those are all part of the transition from the Tucker and Bregman era. You know, so yes, two specifically for them, but the Astros are a new Astros, and as a result, the defense is not as good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the most frustrating things is that outside of all those things, it becomes like less fun to watch the baseball game.
Yeah.
Like even I would like it if they were a fun team that maybe was a little scrappy and sometimes mm-hmm. had. It just becomes less entertaining to watch these baseball games right now, which is that's probably the most egregious portion of this for me personally. They're back at it tonight, and hopefully the two words that Sean Pendergast gave us before he left the room bring a level of excitement back to this game in particular versus the Cardinals. Hunter Brown on the mound for your Astros in this one as they try and get one back and give themselves an opportunity to still win a series on the road in St. Louis. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we have reached postseason basketball. Not quite playoff basketball because mm-hmm. it's play-in basketball. And it is a game that you care about because it's going to determine who the Rockets will face off against starting Sunday mm-hmm. in the first round of the playoffs. Do you want Warriors? Do you want Grizzlies? Who would you rather see and why? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude with Figgy Fig hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Hope that your Tuesday is going pretty well thus far. It'll get better in a little bit. In 11 o'clock hour, we'll be joined, as we often are, on a Tuesday by Brandon K. Scott. You know him as B. Scott from Hiram Clark. He'll join us, as he typically does, at 11 on a Tuesday. But right now, let's talk about some postseason baseball, or basketball, rather, that's going on tonight. Starting at 6:30, you got Magic and who was the other team that they playing? I forget. Oh, Magic Hawks.
Hawks.
Yeah, 6:30.
Who gives a damn about
I don't.
Them, man?
I tell you, I don't. Because I'm waiting for the game that I really want to see, that I think that we all are interested in. 9 p.m. TNT. Grizzlies at Warriors from the Chase Center in San Francisco to determine which of those teams come to Houston on Sunday to face off against the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs. The first time the Rockets have been to the playoffs since James Harden was on the team. Like, this is such a monumental opportunity. Who you got? Who you want in this one? 713-572-4610.
Well, you heard the promo just a second ago. You know, Seth talking about, I want the Warriors. I don't. I really don't. To me, it's not even close. Memphis, man. I want Memphis. They've owned them this year. The Warriors, no matter what you think, they got that experience. They, you know, they know how to win long series, and it figures to be, you know, obviously 4 or 5 minimum, but maybe longer series than that. They've got the closer. I don't want the Warriors. No,
they got Derek Stingley.
They got Derek, the closer. Yeah, they got the closer.
See how that doesn't
See?
Work?
See, it's in your head.
No, I wanted to point out how it doesn't make no sense. But yeah, I think it goes without saying that I'd rather see the Memphis Grizzlies than the Golden State Warriors. There's a couple of notes that I thought. Well, first and foremost, like, when you talk about the major defensive player, right, like that defensive stalwart, Draymond Green is at the very least a much better defensive orchestrator than Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, maybe you could say Jaren is a better individual defender, possibly, but Draymond, one of the things that he does really well defensively is he orchestrates, he calls things out, like he pre-switches, and he is on the floor as a floor general of sorts, at the very least defensively, but also sometimes offensively. Like, the thing that he does so well, the reason why he's able to play at, like, what, 6'6" or what have you, or 6'7" as a you know, big with, you know, the arm wingspan or whatever, is his IQ, right? At least when it comes to basketball, because sometimes the other IQ I'd be calling into question out here, kicking people in the manhood and stuff. But, you know, he does all of those things. And I like, in over the course of a series, as you're talking about, like, those defensive adjustments, being able to do those things, take away a possession here or there because you were able to suss out what was happening over there and find some level of adjustment, I think that's bigger. Secondly, and we might get into some audio here, his name is Tomas Isalo. Do you know who that is?
Who is Tomas Isalo?
I didn't know who this was until yesterday. This is the interim head coach for the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's the other part of it. You know, it's a mess right now.
Dude, it is absolutely a mess. But then also, I don't know that dude has the coaching acumen that Steve Kerr has. And I think Steve Kerr, I always view him as a dude who set up a system. And then within the system, those guys go and run it. I'll never forget the image of one of those instances of them out there, you know, or actually, I don't even have to talk about an image. There's been games where he's just kind of let his guys on the bench, you know, kind of coach themselves. This thing runs itself in some ways, not to like kind of undercut what Steve Kerr does, but like he's still got so much more experiential knowledge in how to do things in the playoffs and just in the NBA compared to this interim head coach who was stepping in to this role, you know, on very short notice to try and figure it out versus these guys. Plus, and to put it very simply, Ja Morant can hurt you. Steph Curry can nuke you.
He can kill you. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think to add on to that, Steph Curry has such a bad game against the Rockets. You know that's in his brain right now.
And it, like, doesn't matter.
And it's like, I'm about to show off now. Y'all held me to how many points? Nah, it's over with now. I'm about to go crazy now.
You know, the argument
that could be a little scary.
The argument of, well, they really played good defense against him last time. They did. How many players have? And still got smoked by him later. You know?
And I think ultimately the thing is, that's one game versus a longer series is, I think, the question. But ultimately, it feels like, I mean, as much as I would rather see the Grizzlies, you're going to get the Warriors here, right? Like, I think it feels very evident that the Warriors are a better situation. Man, the Memphis Grizzlies are not a good basketball team right now.
No, they're not. I think you're going to get the Warriors. You mentioned Steve Kerr. And you know, it's more prevalent in baseball, where the manager is more of a leader of men than an actual X's and O's guys. But it applies to Steve Kerr. He just knows how to. You kind of touched on it in a roundabout way. Like he knows how to handle personalities, how to keep guys on the same. Remember, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, Buddy Hield didn't hit Steph Curry on a wide open look, and in the timeout he goes, "Hey, let me introduce you to this guy. His name's Steph. He's our best shooter." You remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, and then he's like, "I love you, man. I love you," and he's hugging him and all that. But that's the leader of men quality that Steve Kerr has. You know how to, he knows his players. He knows what buttons to push and how to do it. And that is something I don't want to face. You know, I don't want to face that.
I'm still okay with the matchup though. But like, you know, I guess talking about this game in particular, I think there's kind of some big questions that I think you could use to look at it. And the first one is what we're talking about. Can the Grizzlies contain Steph Curry? Right? Like, Memphis has done a pretty good job in the first couple of times that they faced him. But then just, you know, when he gets going aggressively, they can't do a lot with him. They've got, like, Scottie Pippen Jr., Vince Williams Jr., not names that I think the average fan would know necessarily of their own volition. I think, obviously, you know who Scottie Pippen Jr. is, you know, just in a roundabout way. But those guys, you have guys that you can throw at him. I just don't know that you've got guys that are actually going to stop him. And then Jalen Wells is probably the best defender that you throw out there. However, he has been dealing with some injuries, so I don't know if he's going to make his return in this one. So, just starting there, a Steph Curry that is unencumbered feels like that's probably not a good thing. But it is a one-game situation, so maybe they can get that, right? I would ask you this. Who do you think is the most important Grizzlies player in this game?
Well, Ja, obviously.
Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be it. I mean, what is he going to do? It's kind of a make-or-break series for him in a sense to be able to produce and keep his head and not throw grenades and guns and everything else at everyone. But I think it would absolutely be him.
I think that there's some other answers that you could get to. Interestingly enough, I saw this as given as an answer to this question. Zach Edey, right? Zach, like one of the things that you think about with the Golden State Warriors, and it's one of the things I'm excited about as a possible when in a possible matchup with the Rockets, is that they are a horizontal team, not a vertical team. I heard Zach Lowe mention that in his latest podcast, in that they don't get a lot of verticality. They're not going up and dunking. They don't have necessarily all that size.
They're not running to the rim,
but they've got a lot of that movement around the court and that type of thing. One, the Rockets match up well with that, but they have that verticality, right? Zach Edey is a big guy that can really kind of make that difficult, especially when you talk about rebounding and, you know, stopping extra possessions. That's one of the places where you might be able to see the Grizzlies do a little something against the Warriors, is actually being able to rebound the basketball, not allow them to get second opportunities, and maybe limit possessions.
And he's been pretty hot lately.
If he can stay on the floor.
Yeah, right? If he can stay on the floor, he fouls a lot. But I also feel like the Warriors, they have the perfect, you know, I guess, attack to combat that. You know, with the way they're more of a horizontal team. And hey, there's a Jimmy Butler factor in here as well.
A man that we did not even mention.
Haven't even mentioned him yet.
And Jimmy Butler matters, because you get to the playoffs and
he's playoff Jimmy.
There's something about him. Like, there's not anything that I could point to that Jimmy, I go, man, he's excellent at that. He just does it. He just gets the job done, especially
just
in the playoffs.
It factor.
I don't know about that, but the numbers don't lie about him in the playoffs.
And I can't really describe it. So yeah, man, it feels like they're going to get the victory. Of course, we have an opportunity to watch. It'll be interesting, right? You get a little bit of an idea of what the Warriors are looking like as they head into the postseason. Like, what are they trying to accomplish? What are they trying to do? Of course, against a very particular matchup in the Grizzlies. But I'll be locked in at 9 p.m. tonight. And I appreciate the people texting in saying, like, you know, they want the Warriors. Like, they want to be like, what is it, Lady Elena in Game of Thrones? Tell Cersei it was me, right? I want to kill the dynasty, is what the Rockets fans are saying. Which I kind of like the idea of that.
Hey, it's cool if it happened, but that's in the past, man. Let's focus on the best way to get to the NBA Finals.
I look
at
it like the NCAA tournament. When your team is in there, you want the one seed to get beat by the eight. You know? Yeah, they're great. But I'd rather face the 8 seed or the 9 seed, you know.
Yeah, I ain't scared of nobody, but I ain't about to work hard.
Exactly.
Work smarter,
that's a good
not
way to
harder.
Put it.
Remember
that's
that?
That's a good way to put it.
He said the paycheck's the same if I lift this heavy box or if I press these buttons. I feel like that's the way that I should operate this. And somebody said also everyone has Warriors PTSD from the Harden years. And I think – This is a different team, but again, we mentioned it. Like they've got some real barbs, but it feels like if my prediction's right, which you know what, I really should not lean too heavily because anything can happen in a one game set of stuff. But it does feel like the Warriors win this game. But we'll ultimately see what it looks like.
They're the Astros, man. The Warriors are the Astros. Like
that's not a bad.
We still a little worried about them a little bit.
They may not be what they once were, but they're still. Astros.
We still think about them as the Astros.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what they get done. 9 p.m. tonight, and then I imagine after that we'll get closer to figuring out what Sunday will look like. Obviously, it'll be at home, Toyota Center versus the winner of this game on Sunday. But I don't know when that game is. It's still TBD. On what the timing is of that game that would be on Sunday, the game one of the first round for the Rockets. There's a lot of thought that it would probably be like that 2:30 time slot, but we'll see what it ultimately looks like. But yeah, tonight, an opportunity to see which of those, will it be Ja, will it be Steph that comes to Houston for the first round of the playoffs? We'll see after tonight. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's head over to our question of the day. In honor of Nolan Arenado, who gave us a little bit of insight into why he did not become an Astro, who is a near-miss player that you wish your squad would have gotten, no matter which squad you want to talk about? 713-572-4610. Let us know. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Time for the question of the day. And I was about to say a wrong thing. Who is a near-miss player that you wish your squad would have gotten? 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. And funny enough, as we were during the break, I was kind of trying to think of, because I mean the Rockets were my favorite team growing up. Basketball was my first love. And so like I was trying to think, and I was like, I'm not coming up with great answers for myself on players. And that took us to like a Daryl Morey discussion in the break that I have really enjoyed us having, which started with just how does he keep his job?
It's amazing. That guy, he could teach an entire course, like for an entire semester, on how to stay alive and how to keep people fooled, basically. He builds these relationships with the media, so everybody in the media loves him. I've been in there myself, and I like Daryl Morey, but he builds these great relationships with the media. He builds great relationships with owners, and then doesn't do what is promised and still gets hailed as a great general manager.
I think he's good. He's good at setting the parameters under which he'll be judged.
But the
criticism that I always levy at him is I just feel like he does a good job at asset management and things of that nature. He just does not do a good job of remembering that it's a human business and considering those aspects of it. Maybe we'll circle back around to that. That feels like something that B. Scott would definitely want to talk about. We'll talk to him here in a little bit. But yeah, question of the day, who is a near-miss player that you wish your squad would have gotten? Inspired by Nolan Arenado, who made it very evident that you would have liked him. Although, the Astros were in on Nolan Arenado during this offseason. That was well reported upon. I know Chandler Rome of The Athletic had a lot in that regard. But Nolan Arenado went 3-for-4 yesterday against the Astros, including a homer.
Is that all he did?
And a partridge. Anyways, he also explained after, finally, why he vetoed the opportunity to trade when the Astros were on his list of teams and eagerly pursuing him when they were still trying to find a third base answer. And that would have been a good one, right? I think I was looking at it. He was a gold glove for like a solid like 7 years successively in the NL. He's a very good defensive third baseman still, while also having the bat. Maybe not in the same degree as he once did in his prime, but he still swings the bat fairly well. Ultimately, he came down to talking about how he respected that the Astros weren't going to wait for him, because they made the Kyle Tucker trade when they just like weren't getting any leeway, weren't finding any answers. But yeah, apparently Nolan Arenado basically got to a point where he was like, yeah, I'm still need to see some stuff. But he said, quote, when you see a team trade Tucker, 99 out of 100 players would probably be wondering, what does that mean? That's the question I asked myself. And he ultimately, again, he came back to the idea. He knew that he respected the Astros were not going to wait for him to make his decision, but he felt like, it was a reasonable question to ask himself about where the Astros were trying to go.
Could have had him. So got me thinking about could have had's over the course of the year for teams that we follow. And I go to Peyton Manning,
That's where a lot of people wanted.
As the free agent in 2012.
832 with you. Peyton Manning wanted to come here in 2012. We would have won a Super Bowl that year with him.
that was the best team the Texans have ever had, including the most recent ones. And I understand how good this team is, obviously. We talk about it a lot. But they would have won a Super Bowl. And somewhere in that stretch, Gary Kubiak would have kept his job. Gary Kubiak, I believe, hold on, I might have this backwards. I believe Gary Kubiak ultimately, no, he vetoed the trade. I believe Kubiak wanted him in 2012, and somehow that didn't happen. Peyton Manning in 2012 was a free agent. That's one that got away. More recently, and I'm interested in you guys' answer, 713-572-4610.
Sorry, I'm stuck on Peyton Manning.
I think 2012, Kubiak wanted him, and then the trade was ultimately vetoed because he thought his game was slipping in 2015 or 14, whatever it was. But either way, Saquon Barkley, we love Joe Mixon, but we also know what Saquon Barkley did last year. And it just makes your mind wander a little bit. Imagine that dude with the Texans. Mike Evans, more recently, as well, might be one on some people.
Sorry, I keep getting stuck on the name that you just... Well, because I'm like, Peyton Manning, the thing I immediately thought of is, what is that offense like? How does that go to a different level? Because Peyton Manning, he notoriously his own offense coordinator. Like, how does that offense then look? And then you mentioned Saquon, and the tough thing is that when you bring in a running back of any caliber, you go, what does it look like considering that the offensive line that you had?
Well, they bid on him.
Yeah?
I mean, they made an offer.
No, I understand. I'm not saying that, still sign me up. Don't get me wrong. It's just, what does it look like? Because it clearly doesn't look like what it looked like in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because that is a crazy good offensive line that obviously helped to some degree. And understanding that Joe Mixon did pretty damn well behind an offensive line that was inconsistent at best here in Houston. But I'm like, what does it actually look like? I don't know why I had not considered that to this point, but what does it actually look like behind this offensive line last year?
You can argue there's certain running backs like Saquon that you can say, well, is he better in a gap scheme or a zone scheme? Doesn't matter.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Doesn't matter.
I love that everybody, we got like seven Peyton Mannings here. On the text line. Someone mentioned Kyle Hamilton, obviously that one comes in.
Yeah.
Especially just because of like how good defensively he's been, how versatile he's been in the secondary, and you ultimately trade Kenyon Green for a safety, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kyle Hamilton very clearly would have been incredible, particularly in a D'Amico Ryan's defense as well.
Do any come to mind for you, Figgy?
Kyle Hamilton was the one I was thinking about because I thought about, damn, they had Kenyon Green, man. Yeah. So that's the one I felt like they really missed.
Mm-hmm. And then when I go back and look at the college squad that you follow, the Aggies had Kyler Murray. As a true freshman, he started like two or three games, but they had to appease Kyle Allen, and ultimately Kyler Murray said, nah, I'm out. But they had him. They had him in uniform.
I kind of think about Joe Burrow with Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, man. Like, that dude went on to LSU and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Put up one of the best, if not the best, like, offensive season all the way around for college football with that 2019 LSU squad. Yeah. Really tough. What's funny is it's not a team that I like. It's a team that I followed, but I wouldn't call it my team necessarily. And you mentioned, like, the Aggies. They had one of these guys, too. Can I get a Johnny Manziel and RG3 for the University of Texas?
Yeah.
And the reason why those guys stick out so strong for me is that I continue to think about the fact that that was the canary in the coal mine that Mack Brown was done in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
Not just done in these streets as like he shouldn't be the coach. Well, yeah, he shouldn't be the coach anymore, but that his recruiting strategy was not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because with both those guys, he recruited them to play safety.
Yeah.
And then both of them went to to opponents in state and cooked you. Just looked incredible.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, so you thought they couldn't play quarterback, but you wanted to get David Ash here, my boy? All right, it's time for you to go somewhere else, man. Like, so yeah, those ones I think are ones that stood out for me. And in true me fashion, the other answer actually has to, if you're going to talk about my team, one of the few teams in sports that I really like looking at and I go, this is like a team that makes me, that ruins my weekends, right? Manchester United.
Oh, yeah.
Erling Haaland is a incredibly talented striker for Manchester City.
Mm-hmm.
And United.
They've been all right, haven't they?
They've been pretty damn good. Thankfully, they're finally slowing down. God bless. But, yeah, man, Erling Haaland, they had an opportunity, and they have been struggling to find a striker they can close. Talk less of one of the dudes who's been just mechanical in his finishing. So yeah, that one came up.
I'll go in the Wayback Machine a little bit too. Some of our older listeners will relate. The Rockets traded successfully for
Who are you talking about?
Who was it? I'm drawing a blank on the name right now. But that would have been one. And then back in the Wayback Machine, Eric Dickerson. Sean Elliott is who I was thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
They traded for Sean Elliott, and the trade was rescinded. But the other one, Eric Dickerson, committed, took money from the Aggies. God bless him for giving him money. And then took more money from SMU and drove in the Z28, the black and gold Z28 that they got him to SMU for signing day.
Cost doing business.
Eric Dickerson.
Cost doing business, baby. That's
what about some other stuff that was kind of rescinded? Because I think about the Chris Paul trade.
I thought about that one, but I was like, I don't know.
I know that they ain't my squad, but that could have changed his career. He still got a Hall of Fame career, don't get me wrong, but it was a possibility he could have won a championship, man. And right now it's not looking like it.
Yeah.
The only championship that I wanted Chris Paul to win is the one that he had the opportunity to
with
in
the
Houston, where he, you know, where that leg acted up. And the reason why I'll say this, and I understand, like, I have a great respect for Chris Paul as a player, but I also feel like this is his cosmic punishment for being a serial nut puncher. And nut punchers shall not prosper. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe that to the depth of my bones. And he is constantly one of them dudes that's one always like nitpicking the rules. He's the tattletale going into, ooh, you see, he ain't tucking his shirt, miss. Like, that's Chris Paul. And then on top of that, he's the dude, he'd be punching people in the nuts.
That's somebody I would not want to play basketball with.
No.
Like, he would be the irritating dude at the rec. That always crying, always whining and playing dirty too.
Yeah. How about Chris Bosh? They had reportedly a deal in place for Chris Bosh.
I remember that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that would have been a good one right there.
And Chris Bosh, I think, is a player that, especially now that his tenure with Miami went that way, that I don't think the people remember just how much of a monster he was.
Oh, God, he was always one of my favorite players.
He was so good.
He was one of my absolute favorite players.
He was such a – and people are pointing out, it's Trans Am, wasn't it?
I thought it was a Z28, but
I always thought it was the Trans Am.
That's like the same vehicle, just different names, you know, how the companies do them now.
With the Bosch, people were pointing to could have had Parsons, Howard, Harden, and Bosch in that time period. Oof, yeah, that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Can you substantiate this for me? Because I actually don't recall this from the 832. Didn't Andre Ware want to play at UT, but they didn't recruit him as a quarterback?
I don't remember that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll have to do some digging on that. Mm-hmm. Someone just was like, here's a whole bunch of names. Tyler Smith, I believe the guard. Tyler Linderbaum, the interior. I believe
I thought about Linderbaum, too.
Jordan Davis, which that's just a fun one, because anytime you just get a big old boy that's athletic, that's always fun. And then, of course, Kyle Hamilton over Kenyon Green. So they just went with all these dudes that you missed.
That was right there.
Yep. And then how about this one? Somebody said, anyone remember when Jeff Luhnow traded for Bryce Harper, and the Phillies approved it, but last second the owner stepped in and vetoed it?
That was a. I don't know if that was a report or a rumor or whatever, but I do remember.
Even
that,
if it was a rumor, it should have happened. Like, Bryce Harper, can you imagine? Although, like, would they have paid Bryce Harper?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate to do that. However, like, would they have paid?
No, they wouldn't have paid Bryce Harper. Yeah,
that's the only thing that I worry about. All right. Somebody said way back, Derek Johnson from Texas at linebacker for the Texans. I liked Derek Johnson.
Mm-hmm, I did too.
Didn't Derek Johnson get out here doing he really elevated the punch, the punching out the football, because he went to Kansas City, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, peanut punch was the one that we all, but then Derek Johnson loved getting that, like, punching the football out.
Yeah.
And I think he made a name for himself in that way. And I could say that he is one of the people that helped popularize the idea of, hey, punch at the football. Try and let that thing loose. Pau Gasol was in that Lakers trade for Chris Paul. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I make the argument, and maybe this is too spicy of a take, that Pau Gasol, at least during stretches, was the best player during one of those runs.
I don't disagree.
That was a squad.
Yeah,
man,
I don't disagree.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to post a picture like Kobe won with this. I'm like, that's Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
That's all you need at that moment.
That's how you know you're getting older, is when people disrespect people that you saw. They're like, no, I know.
Yeah.
And I'm one of these guys. I disrespect people that I know, John, that you watch, and you're just like, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm like, Pau Gasol, that's all he needed.
Yeah.
You got Pau Gasol and Kobe. That was it right there.
Yeah. Somebody Dominique Wilkins is the one I always defend like that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
People are like, Dominique, he was all right. What?
That organization, even that organization doesn't treat Neek well enough. And I mean, they did trade him.
Yeah.
They did trade him. All right. Didn't we pick Phil Nevin over Derek Jeter? Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah.
Julius Peppers instead of David Carr. Yep. Okay.
Yep. That's a good one.
That is a great one.
That's a really good one.
Because not only was Pep incredible, Pep played for a long-ass time.
Played like till last year.
Hall of Famer.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Got in with who? Andre Johnson.
That's right. Man. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's welcome in the man Brandon Scott to spend an hour with us. And we'll start by going around the NFL next.